So my name is Alain Forget. And I'd like to thank my co-authors for their help with this project, Sarah Perriman, Jeremy Thomas, Alessandro Christi, Nicholas Kristen, Lori Faith Craner, Serge Igoman, Marion Harbeck, and Rahul Talang. In this talk, I'll be presenting a qualitative study comparing users' security attitudes and behaviors to the security of their own computers that they use every day. So, a lot of past work in our community which these are just a few examples, has advocated that computer security could be improved with greater user involvement. But our study challenges this assumption and actually suggests that user involvement in computer security might require a more nuanced approach and certainly more research, as I'll talk more as we go on. So our study's findings support results found in past work, such as Rick Walsh's paper on folk models of computer security, which can lead users to incorrect beliefs and behaviors in computer security. Our participants also had very similar challenges with software updates, as the users discussed in Cami Vanier's, Emily Rader, and Rick Walsh's more recent work on updates. As I'll discuss, our participants were older than in most studies in our field. The only past work that we could find on older adults and computer security was by Grimes et al. And in 2010, who found that older and particularly female participants had less knowledge of internet security hazards than younger and male participants. So their and our work suggests that more research is needed to better understand the challenges that are faced by these understudied and potentially vulnerable populations, such as older computer users. Finally, Lalonde Lévesque et al. Performed a field study on antivirus software effectiveness, where they found that participants that had a greater computer expertise were actually more at risk than less technically knowledgeable users. So in our research community's relatively short history, most of our knowledge on usable security challenges and solutions is founded from data often collected from controlled studies, either in a lab or online. We have also conducted field studies, of course, like Lalonde Lévesque's work I just mentioned, but they've typically focused on testing a particular intervention to help users be more secure or private. And of course, these studies have been invaluable contributions to our field, but we find that there hasn't been enough high ecologically valid observational data collected on users' everyday computing behaviors with respect to privacy and security. So as a step towards this goal, we launched the Security Behavior Observatory Project, which is a multi-year effort to collect longitudinal data on a broad spectrum of participant and computer behaviors in the wild. So the way it works is SBO participants will first install our data collection software on their home machines, which then send computer and user behavioral data to our collection server. This data is then transferred to our data analysis server, which is only accessible to authorized researchers from within our institution's network. Now, for the sake of time, I've glossed over lots of important details in deploying this infrastructure, so feel free to ask us for more details about the SBO after the talk. Now, in addition to collecting data from participants' machines over long periods of time, we can also interview participants to better understand their computer security attitudes and behaviors and compare them with the security state of their machines over time, which is exactly what we did for this very project. So, the SBO is a longitudinal field study, as I've said, where participants are continuously recruited and can leave at any time. So this means that the amount of data we collect from each machine will vary. So at the time that this work began, there were 73 household machines from the Pittsburgh area that had sent us data for at least 3 months within a 9-month window of time. During some informal inspections of the data we received from participants, we noticed that some of the machines seem to be in what would be considered could be considered an insecure state. So, for example, they may have had potentially unwanted software like spyware or adware, lacking any kind of security software at all to protect their machines, having outdated or historically vulnerable software as well, such as Adobe Acrobat or Flash, and so on. So this brings us to this specific study's methodology. So to better understand what users' attitudes and behaviors may lead to a secure or insecure machine state, we invited 28 participants with a rough variety of machine security states for interviews, 15 of which responded and were interviewed over the phone. So we asked participants about their own and other people's use of their computers. We asked them what they did to maintain their computer, if anything, precautions that they took to reduce computer security risks on their machine, and whether they performed a variety of insecure computing behaviors. We tried to elicit information about interviewees' beliefs that led to the security decisions, as in similar studies such as Rick Walsh's folk models presented here at SUPS 2010. Now, during these interviews, we also established a remote session to their machine so that to use as a common frame of reference for the discussion. So after the interviews, we performed an inductive thematic analysis on the interview transcripts following these general steps that I won't go into detail now. But again, this is similar to past qualitative work that has been done in our field. So to compare participants' interviews to their machine security, we examined various aspects of their machines through the SBO, such as the type and the state of security software that was installed on their machines, if any, the presence of outdated and historically vulnerable software, such as Adobe Acrobat Reader and Flash, known malicious or suspicious software, whether or not their operating system was configured to automatically install updates, and whether or not the updates were actually being regularly installed and promptly installed as well. The demographics of our 15 interviewees were middle-aged women, which provided us with the unique perspective of a typically understudied population, which might be at particular risk for computer security threats. Most participants were retired or in a non-technical occupation, and all interviewees said that they performed some form of sensitive tasks on their machines, such as online banking or e-commerce or some other medical-related tasks. So here's what we learned. Through our analysis, the overall theme that emerged from the interviews revolved around the concept of engagement, whereby some interviewees very clearly described behaviors where they wanted to either control or manage their computer security and general function, their computer security and general functionality, while other interviewees were deliberately avoided engaging in computer security tasks. However, users who were very engaged didn't always perform the most secure behaviors. And in some cases, these engaged users actually put their machines at greater risk because of what they did through their engagement. Similarly, some disengaged users' machines actually seemed to be quite secure, while others did not. So we want to be clear that all interviewees, regardless of their level of engagement, they desire to have secure computers. So we don't believe that a lack of engagement is due to a lack of motivation, but perhaps it's instead a lack of ability or just personal interest. So here are some quotes from some interviewees who were disengaged from their computer security. So, for example, when asked what they would do if they saw a browser security warning, one participant said, "I'd call my daughter, I'd close Google Chrome, I'd just close the computer." So they tended to outsource maintenance and security tasks to either people that they considered trusted experts, often family or friends, or paid services like Best Buy's Geek Squad. When encountering a problem, they tended to respond passively by just exiting the application or the website or would immediately contact someone for help. These participants often voiced a lack of interest and knowledge in technology and would avoid security and maintenance tasks because of their lack of interest. And finally, they tend to accept whatever application or security software configurations either their chosen experts recommended or would just often leave the defaults. Now, engaged users were, of course, the opposite. They would try to proactively maintain their computers, respond actively to problems. They would seek out information on software or other technical topics. And they would be actively involved in configuring their computer and security software settings, particularly updates. One participant said, I read the descriptions of the updates and choose what seems to me to be of value. Now, unfortunately, engaged users' behaviors would sometimes put their computers at greater risk rather than improving security. So when we compared the security state of interviewees' computers to their level of engagement, we found that user engagement was not necessarily aligned with computer security. So some disengaged users, their computers were insecure because they didn't have security software at all, or they weren't installing updates or other reasons. But then there were other disengaged users whose machines were actually quite secure. Since they just sort of left the default automatic updates untouched, they had security software that was running properly, and they avoided potentially risky behaviors. Some engaged users' machines were also secure because they were constantly vigilant for possible threats and took appropriate actions when they saw warning signs, as well as actively installing security updates. But unfortunately, other engaged users' machines were rather insecure because since they had misconfigured or disabled their security software, had not installed some security updates, or had vulnerable versions of popular software, often because the interviewee was afraid that the updates would break their application's functionality that they really depended on. So what should we take away from all this? Well, first, it seems that simply trying to increase user engagement might not always lead to more secure systems. So this means that we need further research to determine how to properly and effectively educate and support users in making the correct decisions and avoiding dangerous ones particularly. So hence the quote of the paper, you know, maybe if you either do it right or don't do it at all. If you just try, well, yeah, you're at risk of making your computer less secure. More specifically, we think that security software and educational materials should support both of the types of users that we've identified here. So this means that less engaged users should be able to use their computers with just minimal time and effort investment, through secure defaults, comprehensive, easy-to-use, fire-and-forget style security solutions that just work. But more engaged users, they want more control of their computers, along with more information that they can actually understand and trust is reliable and reputable, lest they just ignore it and then inadvertently put their computers at further risk. We might also suggest that security updates be very clearly separated from feature updates so that engaged users can avoid the feature updates that they don't want while still installing the security updates that don't affect the user experience. But that said, at CHI 2014, Vanya Rader and Wash pointed out that users these days seem to feel betrayed by all updates in general, regardless of the type of update at all. So further work is needed to basically improve the user perception of updates that we seem to be facing. This concludes my presentation. So feel free to ask me any questions either now at any of the breaks, or feel free to send me an email. Thanks for your attention.
Good talk.
Thank you.
Konstantin Bizosov, UBC. So do you see any parallel between engaged and not engaged users versus novices and experts?
Versus what was the last part?
Novices and experts.
Novices and experts. Most of our participants were... we had some... It depends how you define expert, because levels of expertise can range.
Advanced users who know computers fairly well know how to use them.
So the trick is that some of the engaged users thought they knew computers really well and thought they were doing the right things, but actually they weren't, and their micromanagement behavior was actually putting their computers at risk. So in that case, typically disengaged users were normally... basically, engaged users seem to be more likely to be more tech savvy, but not always. And disengaged users tend to be less tech savvy. But we only had 15 participants, so it's kind of hard to say definitively. We didn't look specifically at that in detail.
I think I mean more about the differences in the interfaces that you would offer to your engaged and not engaged users. Versus interfaces that you would offer to novices.
What we recommend. Oh, yeah. So basically, we would recommend that for disengaged users or perhaps for novices, it could be the same, whereby it's sort of a hopefully minimalist interface that just makes it as easy as possible to do the secure thing, just sort of that fire and forget kind of idea. But the interfaces should also allow for to find greater control so that engaged users can fine-tune things as they see fit while providing them information about those controls so that they can make informed decisions and, again, not put themselves accidentally at risk.
I think I have the same question, just like in HEX. Because my understanding is that it's more like digital literacy. Like if people they have more digital literacy, then they may have more conduct more secure behavior. So I was wondering whether you have to think about this.
If they have more
digital literacy, for example, like people they may have more knowledge about security or more knowledge about the internet or
So that's true. It seems that it may be that some of the at least engaged users that performed behaviors that put themselves at risk, it's maybe that they only knew just enough to be dangerous, but not enough to make the right choices. So it may be that essentially between users who had little knowledge, who would just do nothing about it, versus users who are very expert and know precisely what they're doing, it's perhaps in this middle range where things get dangerous, where they kind of think they know what they're doing, but a lot of it is still very unclear. And they rationalize to themselves that they think they know what they're doing and then sometimes make dangerous mistakes.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, yeah, great study. Just a question on how you decided to classify some of the users as disengaged users. Okay. As an alternative, some of the disengaged users actually deferred security decisions and updates to other family members. And in a way, I think you could have classified those people as engaged users. And that might have given you a slightly different outcome.
We'll
put it another way. If you think of a manager... who defers tasks to staff.
Right.
It's just the fact that the task has been deferred to somebody else. It's not that they're disengaged. It's just like, oh, my daughter does that. So they actually are engaged, but they've deferred the task.
By our definition of engagement, we basically took to mean that engagement is basically the concept of being involved in the process of securing or maintaining your computer. And so basically, just the way the coding and analysis went, the disengaged users, basically it just so happened that essentially the users who were by our definition of engagement, essentially users who were disengaged, they would some of them would delegate it to someone else.
Yeah, I just thought that you could separate that out because just by proxy, if you have a disengaged user, but they've got, you know, their son is great at computers and he's doing the fixes, and then you think, well, disengaged user's got a really up-to-date system, but you've sort of missed the fact that they've deferred that task to somebody else as opposed to a disengaged user who has just ignores stuff.
But I suppose part of the point is that sometimes delegating your security to a trusted expert can be a good thing because then that trusted expert does know what they're doing even though the user themselves is disengaged.
Yeah.
Perhaps we should take the conversation offline.
Sure. Maybe it could have been a third category, but it's only an observation. It's just...
Okay, yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. We're actually out of time.
I'm sorry. I'm going to make this comment unless you come over here and punch me, so good luck. We did a lot of studies of computer security and older people at IU, and so I'm Jean Camp and Kay Connolly, and I completely agree with you. The person who engages with the family technologist is not the engaged user, so you'll find a tremendous amount of validity, validation, and other studies. And this is why I particularly want to speak, there are a couple of junior faculty at the University of Southern Florida who are also doing this. Juan Gilbert and Danielle Olivier recently got some NSF support. And if you want to study older people, go to the University of Southern Florida because they're really helpful, and they also have lots of them.
That's good stuff. So, thank you. We're going to move. Thank you.